Stargast, the German football pod, brought to you by The Athletic. In today's special edition, we look back at Bayern Munich's extraordinary treble-winning year with Patrick Strasser of Munich-based Abendzeitung newspaper. Patrick, welcome to the pod. 2020 for Bayern really started a couple of months early, in November 2019, when Niko Kovac was fired after the 5-win defeat against Frankfurt and Hansi Flick was named interim manager. Did you think that 2020 would turn out the way it did?
Yes, of course. No, of course not. Nobody did. I mean, Hansi Flick was such a clever person to take as an assistant coach. I think that was really a good decision. Uli Hoeneß was the one who was forcing the club to go and ask Hansi Flick whether he can jump in as assistant coach. But after Kovac was sacked...
But Uli Hoeneß also said that it was Niko Kovac's express wish to have Hansi Flick appointed.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, me neither.
I think he just said it because that was clear that it's not going to be easy for Niko Kovac... alongside with Hansi Flick, such a mastermind in terms of tactics and getting along with the players. So maybe that was like a hidden perspective to appoint him as head coach. Although, when you're talking about November 2019, they just gave him 2 matches in the beginning. So they weren't sure themselves whether it will work out or not.
That is definitely true. But before we go into what Flick did right and how he became to be Bayern's proper manager, as it were, after that good initial run, I think we need to maybe just have one or two lines on Kovac. Patrick, from someone based in Munich with your ear close to the ground, talking to players, talking to people in the club, just how bad was the relationship by the time Kovac was fired between him and the squad?
I remember it was really bad. The problem was the players didn't really trust him and his style of play. Just wanted to play not very risky in terms of offense and just hiding a bit on the pitch, just waiting what the opponent is going to do. So that was not kind of Bayern style. In my opinion, he was after 1 year and several months, he was still coaching like he did in Frankfurt. So, we have a difficult opponent. They are very strong. We have to wait and see on the pitch what happens. And the players, especially the likes Thomas Müller, Robert Lewandowski, and all the other ones, they didn't like that kind of style. They want to play what they have learned under in past times. Louis van Gaal, Jupp Heynckes, in these times where they attack, where they dominate the match. And they didn't like it, and then Kovac made a big mistake by getting Thomas Müller not in the right manner he should do. So he left him out for several games in October, I remember, and in the beginning of November, and that was one of the crucial points why he got sacked.
Yes, and then as you said, Hansi Flick was tasked with at least a couple of games. The first one came against Dortmund. In a key game, which he won very convincingly. 5-0, I seem to recall. Bayern played some really strong stuff. And then Bayern was still talking to one or two alternatives and maybe perhaps we're still not 100% convinced until the winter break. Would that be fair?
Yeah. I mean, it's quite obvious that a club like Bayern Munich, they have to do it. I mean, they have to... get on the market and check and see what would be possible right now or next summer. So they were talking to some coaches, but Hansi Flick was the one like a joker they had. And they said, okay, let's do it until Christmas. And then they were playing so good, so convincingly. The squad was so happy with Hansi Flick, and yeah, it was quite normal after a while that he's becoming head coach. And in April this year, I remember they gave him a new contract. And when we were talking about this new contract, he's got a contract until 2023. So the doubts about him in the beginning, they disappeared, and suddenly they gave him such a long contract. So they're very happy with him.
Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, the executive chairman, famously handing Hansi Flick a pan for his birthday after the game against Chelsea, the first leg, which Bayern won 3-0 at Stamford Bridge, saying, right, "Oh, you can sign contracts with pens in Munich." But that still took a couple of months for them to do so. That was back in February. But I just want to jump back quickly before Hansi Flick was appointed full-time manager. I seem to recall speaking to you about a story that was doing the rounds at the time that Bayern were very, very close to appointing Arsene Wenger as the new coach. What happened there, do you think?
Well, there was a phone call between Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, the CEO, and Arsene Wenger. But that was quite funny afterwards, because no one really said that it's going to be a serious talk. I mean, maybe they were just checking possibilities, and I don't really think it was would have been a clever option to go and ask Arsene Wenger. Maybe they would just wanted to find out if things terribly go wrong with Flick in autumn or in winter. So I'm not so sure. They were talking to Erik ten Hag from Ajax Amsterdam. So he was said to become the new manager, maybe in summer 2020. But with Arsene Wenger, that was, well, I think Arsene Wenger was quite happy to have his name in the media again for such a big club like Bayern, preventing him for before he retires. And Bayern, that was like this reaction Bayern always has, asking for big names. You know, Raphael, they couldn't ask Ottmar Hitzfeld again. They couldn't ask Jupp Heynckes again and again. So maybe that was like a reaction to ask Arsene Wenger. And then they realized, no, it's not really a good idea.
Yeah. And as you said, there's always been a clamor for a big name ever since, I think, Pep Guardiola left. Rummenigge in particular has lusted after another big superstar to arrive in Munich to perhaps provide a bit of glitz and glamour. And Hansi Flick, I think we've all admit, didn't seem to be the right fit in that respect.
No,
initially,
no, of course.
Because you and me, we would have seen him many years as the assistant coach of Joachim Löw, a very loyal guy who, I don't want to say was hiding in the shadows, but made absolutely no attempt to be seen as one of the sort of the leaders of this team. Happy to do, you know, the unglamorous work with set pieces, always looking a little bit uncomfortable in front of the media. He didn't quite look like Bayern Munich potential.
Yeah, that's true. I remember his first press conference back in November last year. He turned out and he gave us the impression, yeah, really, that he has to do this job now. He does it for the club. He likes Uli Hoeneß very much. He likes Bayern, where he was playing in the 80s himself. And he gave us journalists the impression, okay, I'll do it for two games or even more if you want. But after that, I would be fine to go back and step back and be assistant coach again. And I think, or what I have learned with Hansi Flick and what I've been talking to him, he from week to week and from game to game, he even more liked the possibility of staying in the frontline position, being a head coach. So I think over the winter last year, maybe he invented himself quite new. So suddenly he realized, hey, I can do it. I can be the new boss. And this is what I said before, then I think it's quite astonishing that in the negotiations for the new proper contract, he got a three-year deal. So he had made a good progress then in getting a new personality in terms of coaching.
Do you think he surprised himself a little bit even?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tell, yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, in the beginning, he was quite calm and quite, yeah, okay, I can step back again. And after a while, he got more and more confident, and the team was backing him. And so, in the beginning of 2020, then he suddenly said, we can win everything if we just want. We have the capability. We are strong enough. And he realized the big chance he suddenly had. And after several months, he was a treble winner coach.
Indeed, he was. He changed a couple of things. As you said, he brought back Thomas Müller, which is always very important at Bayern for all sorts of reasons, both football and political. He changed Bayern's game to have them once again pressing. They were playing also some pretty beautiful position football, which perhaps has been lost a little bit in the months since. But there seemed to be a kind of a return to the principles of Jupp Heynckes and Pep Guardiola, certainly in tactical sense. When did you get the feeling that this was going to have a really positive effect? Was it as early as that Dortmund game, or perhaps was the Chelsea game sort of the big test for this new Bayern emerging under Hansi Flick?
Well, I think, let me think, to be honest, in the Dortmund game back in November was more an emotional reaction to what happened before with the matches, one of the last matches of Nico Kovac. They had a cup tie against Bochum, VfL Bochum, second division side, and they nearly lost it. So Dortmund was, an emotional reaction, I would say, but really strong in terms of playing. I think that when they beat Chelsea away 3-0, that was really good style, a really good performance. And then they also got the feeling we can go all the way in the Champions League and the Bundesliga. Let me think. They had a good match, although it was a 0-0 draw against Leipzig in February. For a long time, the only match they didn't win. But yeah, you can see the development from week to week, from month to month. And then there was the break because of Corona. But in February, they were playing really strong. This was the first hint that can rise something really, really big.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think actually that Chelsea performance in a strange way marked Bayern's peak. I don't think they ever actually got back to quite the same level after the break when they had one or two injuries. Thiago was less of a factor after that. But it was still enough to win every single game left in the league. And in the Champions League and the Cup as well, as they went to that treble. I just want to jump back quickly once again to something that Flick was perhaps fortunate to inherit, if you will. There were a few things changing even before he took over, or a few things happening that he benefited from. I think one of them was the transformation of Robert Lewandowski. I remember speaking to a Bayern official in October, and he was saying that Lewandowski is a new player. Of course, on the pitch, everyone knows what he can do, how good he is, but that he was much more socially minded, that he was spending time with some of the young players, helping them finishing practice after the normal time on the pitch in training, that he was spending less time on his phone, being, you know, more of a voice in the dressing room. When did you notice all these things, if indeed you picked up on that? But I'm sure you did, being so close to the club.
You're absolutely right. And you said he inherited, Hansi Flick inherited some advantages, because it was Niko Kovac, one of the good things. Don't forget to mention he also did some good things. He appointed Lewandowski as the third captain. So there's Manuel Neuer, the captain, vice-captain Thomas Müller, and Robert Lewandowski, who always was like playing on his own in a group of players. He was like the playing just for himself, and got angry on the pitch. If he couldn't score the 4 or 5-1, then he left the pitch in anger. Yeah, as a third captain, suddenly he changed the way he was addressing to the players, as you mentioned, even to the media. He was talking more. He was not just talking about his goals, so about the whole team performance. And I think then he also realized, that's the second point, he also realized that it's not going to happen, that he's going to get his wish done to go to Real Madrid. He desperately wanted it for so many years, and maybe suddenly he realized, okay, I have a contract, they won't let me go, and now I can do the best here with Bayern Munich, and his wish, his big aim was to win the Champions League and to be crowned best player of Europe, of the world. And he always thought, I just can't do it when I am in this Real Madrid dress. And maybe he realized there's a new style of play, there's a new atmosphere in the group. So we can do it with Bayern Munich. I can achieve all my goals with Bayern Munich. And that completely changed him.
I think that was very noticeable. And Karl-Heinz Rummenigge was just saying the other day that he spoke to Lewandowski after Bayern had won the trophy in Lisbon, and Lewandowski, you know, was very happy cradling the trophy like a newborn child. And Rummenigge came up to him and said, you see, I told you could do it, Bayern. And apparently Lewandowski was already talking about next season, what they had to do to repeat that. So his ambition shining through. Another thing we really should give Kovac credit for was the discovery, or if you will, the promotion of Alphonso Davies to a left-back berth. Davies had real problems getting into this Bayern team. There were some pretty negative comments about the way he was unable to put his crosses in training. He looked a little bit clumsy, a lot of pace, but not a lot of control and end product. But playing him as a left-back now looks like an absolute masterstroke from Kovac in hindsight, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's such a pace and a speed, it's incredible. Yeah, it's a perfect position for him. I wasn't sure. I remember talking to Hasan Salihamidžić. I think that was after the Chelsea match in February, where Alphonso Davies had one of his best performances, if you remember. He was so outstanding. And then Salihamidžić, he was, of course, very, very happy because this is one of his deals when he was finding Alphonso, this talent in Canada, getting him to Bayern, to Europe for just 10 million euro, I think, altogether. So, not very expensive for such a guy. And Salihamidžić told us that was a long-term plan to have this left wing forward playing back in defense in some years when he have to develop. So yeah, I wasn't so sure if Salihamidžić was just putting it on his shoulders, like saying I was so clever and we watched him and we were sure he's gonna do very good in defense as well, but yeah, Kovac tried it. I think that was in the last weeks of his job back in autumn 2019. And Davies was so convincingly strong that Flick had no chance to do it the other way. That was Niko Kovac. Maybe Salihamidžić told him, let's just try it now, what we were talking about, to do it in a year or something, and it succeeded.
It certainly did. I mean, Bayern seemed to have so much energy all of a sudden. A team that had looked so desperately poor on inspiration, on quality, on creativity, just a few months before when they were knocked out by Liverpool in the Champions League last 16, 9 months later was playing some unbelievable stuff. And I think the Flick effect was perhaps most pronounced when it comes to Thomas Müller, or maybe it's a case of cause and effect that Thomas Müller made the Flick effect seem very positive. Certainly the both of them seemed to combine into lifting Bayern back to another level. I think it was very noticeable how Müller, having been on the fringes and having almost been written off maybe as somebody who had his best years behind him, suddenly became perhaps the most important player for the Bayern team once more. Maybe not so much in terms of the goals, because Lewandowski will always be number one, but how he led the team. And then I think it was perhaps even more noticeable after Corona, when suddenly you needed perhaps that extra bit of intrinsic motivation without the crowd, without the tension and the atmosphere. And Müller seemed to come really to the fore at that point.
And it was also Hansi Flick always saying and pointing out that Thomas Müller, and he really said it like that, he is my assistant coach on the pitch. I don't think many coaches say that, because it seems they're taking away something from themselves, you know what I mean? That he really said it many times, Thomas Müller, the assistant coach, running on the pitch, talking to the players, saying what they have to do. And when you had matches behind closed doors, you can hear it. Like Thomas Müller is really motivating the players, like shouting to them where they have to pass the ball, where they have to run. And he's so incredibly important for this team and in this period of time. So he's one of the keys to Bayern's success in 2020, definitely.
Yeah, and I think especially in empty stadiums when you can really hear Radio Müller, his nickname, broadcasting non-stop, coaching his teammates, you know, being kind of the trigger up front when it comes to pressing. I think his importance cannot be overstated. But it seemed to be just part of a very well-functioning team. You look at throughout the side and Bayern had no obvious weak points. Jerome Boateng came back to have a really strong second half of the season. Benjamin Pavard on the right was very, very solid. And when he got injured at the latter stages of the Champions League, Joshua Kimmich dropped back to that position. And Goretzka and Thiago were absolutely fine in midfield without him. A great combination up front. Serge Gnabry had another really good season, very productive. And Kingsley Coman really came to the next level, I think, at last, finding the consistency and the quality in the finish that perhaps had been a little bit intermittent in recent years. So it all came together. And I think it all came together at its most telling and most eye-catching, in its most eye-catching fashion, in that infamous 8-2 win over Barcelona. Now, Patrick, you covered Germany when they won the World Cup in Brazil, and you were at that semi-final against Brazil, the 7-1. Did you kind of feel similar emotions and a similar sense of disbelief of what was happening at that moment in time?
Yeah, of course. But I think Brazil in Belo Horizonte was a little bit different, because in the Champions League this last summer in Lisbon, Bayern, they were favorites against Barcelona, because everybody knew before that Barcelona is not really having a good time. It was just the big name as a club and Lionel Messi on the pitch and a quite good squad, but not really playing well. So Bayern they were the favorites, and they were quite confident to go through. But before the match, maybe you thought it's going to be a 2-0 or a 3-1. But normally they should do it, they're favorites. And back in 2014 in Brazil, of course, they were playing without Neymar. But it was a World Cup semi-final, and you never know what's going to happen with all the emotions of the crowd in Belo Horizonte. But when the match developed, we could all see it. Brazil was just collapsing. The whole team was collapsing. And that was even in the first half, if you remember. And I think Barcelona was really collapsing in the second half in that match against Bayern. And then they had some goals in the last couple of minutes to make the result even higher. To me, it was a big surprise to see them score 8 goals against Marc-André Ter Stegen, the rival keeper of Manuel Neuer. But it was quite obvious that they should win this match.
Well, yeah, Neuer is a player that we haven't mentioned. He really came back to his best as well in 2019, 2020 and beyond. Another player who'd been somewhat written off or perhaps underestimated after a difficult couple of years with injuries and the World Cup in and Russia really not going according to plan, which was a bit of a shadow over this Bayern team because so many of them were involved. I just want to quickly talk about Thiago as well, Patrick. You will know better than others that he has not always been the most appreciated player in Munich. Do you think now that he's gone and that Bayern were led to the treble with some pretty huge influence from him, in my view at least, that views have changed and people perhaps look at him a little bit differently, even those who perhaps didn't quite rate him as highly?
Yeah, I think you're right. I also did, I think. Of course, now, for all the time, for all the years coming, you will remember Thiago being one of the key players of this treble team, treble winning team. But he was very much criticized, and some people were very impatient with him. I think he was not always, of course, he was not always on his best. And with Niko Kovac, it was also a bit difficult. We were talking about this before here, because Thiago always wants to have the ball. He wants to dominate a game. He wants to create chances. And with Niko Kovac stepping back the whole team and waiting for the opponent, that was not Thiago's way of style, way of play. So Thiago came with Pep Guardiola in 2013, and it was his dream, it was Bayern's big dream to win the Champions League, and it took him 7 years, and there were seven difficult years with a lot of injuries, with long-term injuries as well. I remember 2 years ago and 1 year ago, some critics and some fans and media, they were all saying, Thiago's time is over, so let's someone else to take over in midfield, like Goretzka and Kimmich, and I think it was also Hansi Flick's achievement to put him back to his full strength, to tell him he's going to be so important for him and his team, even if there were rumors from. Say to me, I can't really remember, it was about 1 year that Liverpool was going to try to get him for summer 2020. So, even in his last year at Bayern, he made some of his best performances. And that's also, we have to give this credit also to Hansi Flick.
Absolutely. And another credit we have to give him for is to coach this Bayern team and motivate them in a different way than previous Bayern teams winning the Champions League have been motivated. For those who perhaps don't follow the club so closely, the 2001 Champions League win was always being seen as almost a logical consequence of the trauma of 1999. And the team rallied behind Ottmar Hitzfeld, and just through sheer force of will, when they were probably past their best as a football side, managed to get over the line 2 years later. And a similar story, of course, replayed itself in 2013 when they managed to take the even perhaps more traumatic events of the 2012 final defeat by Chelsea and make that into a positive, motivational force, really having a procession almost to the end until they met a Dortmund team that could have easily beaten them in the final at Wembley, but ultimately they triumphed. This time around, there was no such backstory, if you will, and Bayern just managed to maintain its level and deal with its problems better than anyone else in Europe, even though I think PSG pushed them pretty close and perhaps on another day also could have won the final.
Yeah, that's true. But there's something that comes into my mind right now talking to you. I made this story in the beginning of this little Champions League tournament in Lisbon. What could be one of the key reasons for Bayern's success? I looked at every coach. There were these eight teams in this final knockout tournament. And Hansi Flick was the only coach who had some experience in tournaments like a World Cup or a European Championship. All the other coaches, they were club coaches, so they were just used to a normal season, but not really used to a tournament. This is something really different, I think, when you go to a knockout tournament and you have your team together, like they did in Lisbon for 2 weeks, if things go well. And Flick knew these kind of situations. What do I have to do with my team? What do I have to tell them? What is with the players? They're not playing on the bench. How do I have to talk to them? And that was really important, I think, that he was going through these experiences in some tournaments alongside with Yogi Löw and the German team. And you also have to keep in mind that Manuel Neuer, Thomas Müller, Jerome Boateng, who else would I forget? They were with him in 2014 in Brazil. So they also knew this special atmosphere of a tournament, and I think that was even very important for Bayern. A bit of luck, of course, that they had Flick to appoint as new coach, but it was a big advantage for them.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent point. Flick knew how to manage the situation and the team very well in these rather strange circumstances, and we all know how things panned out. The question is now, Patrick, can Bayern do something that they have never done before? Well, let me rephrase this. Can Bayern do something that they haven't done since the mid-70s, which is to defend the trophy and maybe become part of a bit of an era? On the face of it, you would say yes, because a lot of clubs seem to be still in transition, having problems. Bayern seem to be more settled. On the other hand, you can't help but notice that they look very, very tired at the moment. They haven't had the same sense of fluidity in the team. I think Thiago's departure has made them a little bit more direct, but also a little bit more less controlled and not being able to manage games as well on the ball, which then, you know, even makes it more difficult to conserve energy, and they have to work very hard for their wins at the moment. Will things, you think, settle down and improve when they get one or two injured players back after that mini break? Or will that playing style for Bayern ultimately be a little bit too tiring in this crazy season for them to repeat their triumph?
Yeah, you just mentioned the mini break. I think this year they have, for the first time, they have to deal with a kind of, they don't really have a winter break. They just have 8 days off. They'll be back in training on December 29. I can't remember that in all the 20 years I've been working as a journalist around Bayern Munich. So they were always starting the winter preparation in the first week of January, and then they had like 10 days or 2 weeks to prepare for the first match. So now they just go out of a little relaxed time and start again on the 3rd of January against Mainz. So that will be interesting to see how Flick is going to deal with that problem. So there's no real break for body and soul. So the English teams are used to it, but I think Flick can also manage that. He's also capable of managing that and giving some players a rest in the Bundesliga. It's getting important again when they face Lazio in the Champions League. Quite an easy draw, I think, to go through. And you were asking about winning the Champions League title again. You can't really, I think, you can't really make a plan to win the title, because it's down to the drawing for the next rounds. Then, but yeah, who else should be there? Maybe Liverpool, maybe Manchester City, and Pep Guardiola on one of his new attempts, and maybe one of his last attempts. I don't know. But speaking now, Bayern are favourites, maybe with Liverpool, and all the other big names don't look really solid. So they can do it, but you can't really plan it. So, and also, Flick could be the right guy to do it again. Why not?
Why not indeed? Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about players that you're excited to watch in 2021. Jamal Musiala is coming through. He looks very, very exciting in a almost kind of a Mehmet Scholl role as a number 10 at times, really cultured on the ball. Perhaps not the strongest of players physically, but on the ball, very, very influential already. The same cannot quite be said for Leroy Sané, who's struggling a little bit. How do you think things will pan out for him? And who else, apart from Musiala, who I'm sure you admire just as I do, are you looking forward to see wearing the Bayern shirt next year?
And talking about Musiala, I really have to tell you, I just wait for one mistake he's doing on the pitch. All the matches I've seen in all the recent weeks, where he was not playing all the matches and not the full time, when he gets into trouble on the pitch, he always has the right solution. He's not doing any mistake. So he should try to shoot more often, as always Thomas Müller shouts on him, and try to score more goals. But he's so an impressive player. When you talk to Hansi Flick, he doesn't really want to tell the people and the media that Musiala is so strong. So he always said, "Be calm and just wait and see." And but you can read between the lines that Musiala is going to be a permanent starter in 1 or 2 years in this team. The question is, who's going out then? But that's another luxury problem, as you can say. Yeah, and talking about Leroy Sané, he has to change a little bit. He has to change his manner, his style of play. It's quite hard to get into that team. We were talking about Serge Gnabry and Kingsley Coman, who have developed to doing so well. Yeah, Sané, when he was coming from the bench, he did some good things. I think 4 goals in 4 out of his 5 goals he was doing when he was coming on as a substitute. But Karl-Heinz Rummenigge said he hasn't really learned to adopt the DNA of Bayern Munich, which is it's quite difficult to adopt it in just half a year. And it's also a little bit of an abstract thing, but maybe it's just when he's scoring more goals, being more influential on the pitch, then he will grow, and Hans Rummenigge will say in 1 year he's a Bayern Munich player now. Maybe it's just a matter of goals. But yeah, it's not going to be easy for Leroy Sané to find his place. There's Thomas Müller, there's Robert Lewandowski, there's Gnabry and Coman. So maybe when they change players and rotate, and maybe then he gets some minutes, but it's going to be difficult for him. It's going to be a difficult year, but maybe things change. You never know. Are all the players from summer on staying in the club? You never know. Kingsley Coman, will there be another big club trying to get him, and maybe PSG or something? So you never know. But I'm really keen on seeing Jamal Musiala playing again, and that's also a problem for Leroy Sané, because he developed so well, so not really space in the team for Sané in the moment.
Yeah, that will certainly be one of the big stories in Munich, whether Leroy Sané will manage, as you said, to develop that Bayern DNA. Perhaps the situation not quite as bad as it's made out when you look at his numbers, which I did in a piece for The Athletic, but the perception is a problem. And as we know, perception is important, especially with his body language not being necessarily one of hard work and sweating and fighting. Finally, Patrick, before I let you go, what is the wider outlook for this Bayern side? Karl-Heinz Rummenigge has also already said that they won't be able to make the kind of transfers that they have done in the past because of coronavirus. We still don't see any sign of fans returning this season. Will Bayern have to make sure that they keep existing players like Leon Goretzka, who they'll probably have to talk about a new contract, for example, and maybe Joshua Kimmich as well, rather than add real superstar power this summer?
Yeah, you're right. I don't think they really have to buy and spend much money again this next summer transfer market. But the only thing is they're going to have some second thoughts about the defense when David Alaba is leaving the club. And I'm quite sure what you can hear that he's going to be a new Real Madrid player from July on. He definitely wants to leave the club and start a new chapter in Madrid. Then Bayern have to ask themselves what we are going to do. There's Niklas Süle, who was not so solid and stable in all his matches. And then you have Jerome Boateng, who will be out of contract. So the question would be, is Hansi Flick the man to persuade the Bayern CEOs to give him maybe one more year, to have Boateng in the squad for one more year? But yeah, who else is playing there? They have this new talented guy from France, Tanguy Nianzou, but he was terribly injured 2 times, so just playing like 20 minutes. He's 18 years old. You can't put him there and say, all the best. Try to perform right now. So I think when Alaba is leaving, they will have to buy someone for the defense. Maybe Upamecano from Leipzig. But if you look at the players up front, all the players we were talking about, and Musiala as a rising star, so I don't think they have to do something on the transfer market. And with this team, and if they manage to keep Goretzka and Kimmich, I think they have a really bright future, and they can win more and more trophies in the next years. And let me just tell you this, they have the next possibility to earn and win the trophy is in February, where the club championship in Qatar. And it was said that because this tournament was in danger because of not all teams from all continents were able to have qualified because of the corona break, and FIFA was thinking maybe we have to this year maybe we can't do the tournament, and they changed it from December to February, and the Bayern players they went to Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and said, please call Gianni Infantino and please tell him we want to have this tournament, we want to win this trophy. So this little story shows us how determined and how desperate they are in this group to win any trophy they can win in the next years.
And knowing Bayern, there's a good chance that they would win one or two of those trophies. Patrick, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Taking the time out to look back on Bayern's treble-winning season and a little look towards what might happen in 2021. Thank you, dear listener. That's the last pod of this year, but we'll be back in early January when the Bundesliga resumes. Do tune in then. Until then, have a great time and a very happy new year. Bye-bye.